he asked me questions I don't think anyone would be ever prepared for. And he was like, so Alex, do you like Japanese girls?
Hey guys, welcome back to the Coding Hunter podcast. So this week we talked to Alex, who's a game programmer in Japan, and we hear about his experience learning Japanese to a professional level and what it's like working in Japan.
But before we get to it, you guys know what we gotta do. We gotta destroy the like button. So let's quickly do that.
And then you gotta go follow us on Twitter.
@RazaTalks@Raisui. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so Alex, can you give us a quick background of who you are and where you're at today?
Yeah. So currently I'm working in Tokyo as a game programmer at a Japanese company. And I've been learning Japanese for like 4.5 years now, I guess. So, and like in the company, we only use Japanese, and I had to do the whole like shukatsu, like job hunting process in Japanese and everything. So I kind of went through that whole fun time there. And now I'm just kind of like trying to share my experiences and online and everything about mainly with like game programming and kind of that more niche side of stuff you don't really see online. And then I also try to do a bunch of like podcasts and stuff like that in Japanese to kind of share that, like get my Japanese out there and kind of practice and also help people that are trying to get to a higher speaking level and stuff like that. So yeah.
Right. So I guess like how did you like first start out learning Japanese?
It was I was in university, like second year university, and I was like, I want to work in games, right? And I was like, okay, I'm having trouble getting a job in the game industry or whatever. I was like, okay, what's going to help me? And I was like, okay, what's big in games? Oh, Japan's pretty big in games. Let me just learn Japanese and see if that helps, like as like a extra skill, you know what I mean? So then I wanted to also visit Japan. So I was like, okay, maybe it's perfect, like perfectly lines up with that. So then I just started learning. Ended up going really, really well in the end. But like basically what happened was I was supposed to have like a 1.5 year internship between like my second and third year of university. And then I ended up getting a job offer in Tokyo for like this robotics company or something. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna go to Japan. And like, I've been practicing Japanese. It's been perfect. And I come back and I work for a game company. And I all had it like worked out. And then 4 months like into like getting the in, like I got the offer, like the naite or whatever, like the unofficial offer, accepted it. 4 months later, I'm studying Japanese like no one has ever known, the kind of thing. So it was 4 months. I was like, I'm going, I'm just gonna go real, I'm going ham on this, right? And then randomly I get an email and they're like, hey, sorry, we never mind.
It's like,
never mind. You got punked, bro. Kind of thing. And I was like, oh, wow. So then I freaked out, right? I was like, okay, what am I going to do now? And I was learning Japanese and everything. Okay, what do I do now? I got really lucky in the end, and I ended up getting another internship at a big game company in Toronto. So it kind of worked out in the end that way. So I got into the game industry anyway, which was really, really good. But then ever since then, I think I've been like, I want to work in Japan, you know?
Right.
So kind of after graduating university, here's where I'm now here, I guess. Yeah. But yeah.
So it was like 2 years later, you started like shukatsu?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, yeah, exactly 2 years later after that. Yeah. So it was like, I was doing like studying for like around a year and then 2 years, and then I've been here for a year.
Right. So, what was that experience like with the shukatsu and interviewing?
It was crazy. It was like, oh my god. Because there's so many different. I had to be really, really calculated in what I was doing. As in, so basically, to even have a chance to do everything in Japanese and everything, you need to have like JLPT N2 at the minimum, right?
Right.
So like, basically, I like. Made sure, okay, I'm currently N5 or N4 here, so I need this much time to get N2, and then after getting N2, I need to then make my, like, you have all those, you have so many different, like, documents you need and everything, right? So, making, like, the resume, and, like, there's, like, a shokumu keirekisho, which is kind of, like, a resume plus, and then,
Did you have to, like, handwrite your resume?
No, luckily. I'd want to die if I would have did that. Because I hear, every time you interview somewhere or like apply somewhere, you have to handwrite your own resume each time, right?
Yeah.
I've heard about that situation. So luckily, everything had to be online. And there's no way I'm mailing them a handwritten resume. So, luckily I just got like, I just spent a bunch of time to make my resume and everything. And I started on like the whole interview process.
Do you think it was intensive Japanese wise when you're interviewing? Cause I applied to like software engineering jobs before, and a lot of them are just like, just a coding test and then maybe like a normal, yeah, but I don't know how it is for like game industry.
I mean, I know like a lot of programming interviews like in the West or whatever, you have like for example, if you go for Google or something, they give you like crazy questions that like no human should be able to answer.
Something they need to get done too.
I remember I applied to Google before. I wanted to go to Google Tokyo, so I was applying for them. Right. And the question, one time this random one of the guys came in and he pulled out like from his back pocket. I don't even know how it fit in his back pocket, but he pulled out a Rubik's Cube and he's like, "Do you know how to solve a Rubik's Cube?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "It doesn't matter." And we're gonna start. And then we had a whole time we tried to like model a Rubik's Cube in code. And in the end, he's like, "Yeah, I wasn't really sure how to do it either. So I kind of wanted to ask you." I was like, "What? Because by the end, we weren't able to answer the question properly, kind of thing. But yeah, the interview process was pretty crazy. Like the company I'm currently at, for example, was the craziest interview process because the first interview was with the CTO, which was already kind of like terrifying. And then that went well. So then the second interview is like, okay, we want all the we want like most of the engineers to like, you know, be okay with you working here and everything. You want a sense of like your vibe, you know. So we're gonna do a 8-on-1 interview, okay?
That sounds a little
right.
NSFW. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And man, did I get pile drives. That is bad. It was like literally, I go onto Skype, right? And there's just like 8 separate faces, 8 like Japanese separate faces. And I was like, and then they all just start like coming with the questions, right? And then it was really funny actually, though, was during Corona, right? So I was like, I guess like 3-4 different people were like from working from home, right? So it was 4 different faces. And then the rest were in, a meeting room in the company, right? So then there's one extra thing was like 4 like Japanese people scrammed into like one box in on Skype, but there's one person missing. I was like, okay, 7 people, this one person is, I guess he couldn't come or whatever, right? So we just continued normally, and randomly this guy like, and the door was in the frame, right? Boom, it opens open. It just slams open, right? And he comes in really, really like with a bunch of like, he has like some swagger in him. Comes, sits down, takes the laptop and switches it so only to him, right? And he's like, "All right, I have questions." I was like, "Oh God," right? And like I really prepared for every interview, as in like I literally had like a Google Doc of like 50 questions answered fully in Japanese of anything they could possibly answer. Ask me, right? And I like tried memorizing it all and getting the right like whatever, and I like,
do you have the Rubik's Cube answer?
No Rubik's Cubes ever. I don't want to, there's a Rubik's answer, I'm out. But and randomly he asked me questions I don't think anyone would be ever prepared for. So basically the first question, he was like, "So Alex, do you like Japanese girls?" It's not on the script, man. How do I answer this in an interview? And it's like he kept asking me questions like, "Oh, so like, you like really miss your family when you come back." He kept asking me really personal questions that like I was not prepared to answer, and like in the least. Oh my God, I was freaking out basically the whole time. But in the end, it worked out well. I was just kind of like really awkward and like try to switch the, like, you know, go to a more like technical side or something, like more like professional there. But and then he ended up being my boss, so that was fun.
Yeah, you know, that was like about the last way I thought the Japanese girlfriend aspect would come on our podcast. Like, it's happened multiple times, but that was the last way. Fine, I didn't know Japanese interviews were that dramatic, man.
It's not normal. I do not expect this. This is not normal.
We're gonna have a Netflix adaptation about your experience coming soon.
I'm ready. I've always wanted to be on Terrace House, you know, so.
same.
Right. Every Japanese learner's dream is to go on Terrace House.
You know, we gotta make a Korekara Terrace House.
Korekara House, and it's just like 100 Japanese learners.
It's the biggest sausage fest.
You get kicked. When you speak an English word, you get kicked off the show. And whoever is last wins like 100 grand or something.
I'm down. Let's do this, man. Let's get all to Tokyo and let's do it.
It's about to be lit out here. I can't wait.
what's your experience like working now in the company, like Japanese wise and also like culture?
Yeah, it's definitely a learning experience. I'm pretty lucky with my company because it's a fully Japanese company, but they still, it's a pretty new one, so they're still kind of like, they have some more like non, like, what you know, you have like white and black companies in Japan, like it's more on the white side, I would say, like their philosophies are more white kind of thing.
Real quick, for anyone that doesn't understand white and black companies
in Japan. Oh yeah, sure. So basically like they call white and black is like the spectrum for like how like black companies have a lot of overtime, for example, right? And white companies are like, they make sure that you don't like work a lot of overtime, and like they're properly like following the law kind of thing. Right. I don't know how to explain that.
They should have definitely just had better names for all of this.
Honestly, yeah. This is not translate well.
Yeah, I think you still have to use the katakana word, like buraku.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll start doing that then. But it's definitely more on the white side there because it's a newer company. They're more like, you know, accepting of new things, I think. But definitely, I think like what really surprised me was like, it's the idea of overtime is just really ingrained in the Japanese people, I feel. Like, even if it's not required, they just work. They're like, they're machines, man. They keep going until like 10 p.m. easy every day.
Starting from like what, 8?
We start a lot later, which is I think a good thing, because then people don't leave, but they're okay with coming later, you know what I mean? So we start at 10. You know, 10 to 10 seems like a pretty common thing for most of my coworkers. I'm out when I can, but
so when is that usually when you're out?
10 to 7 are the core hours, so it's like 9 hours.
I see. Like, so you're just like, bye guys, enjoy.
Yeah, your time. I'm always like, I don't know. I'm always like, "Sakinishitarishimasu." I kind of leave there, and then we always have to like write what we did for the day or something in like a Slack channel or something like that. And I'm always like the first post because you do it when you leave, kind of. So sometimes I feel like I need to leave a little later to, you know, be like, I'm working hard too. there's a lot of like Japanese wise, for example, everything is in Japanese. That's definitely been an uphill battle, I feel, because like especially everything, it gets really technical. If like I have like a technical issue, I have to explain like something that I made to like an artist or something, I not only have to do it in a technical way, I have to do it in a way that like a non-technical person would understand this technical thing. And it's like, it's stuff that like I have trouble with even in English, in like usual issues in like the workplace, and you have to also add on top of that Japanese. So definitely a big learning curve there, but it's fun, man. It's fun. You get to use Japanese every day. You learn a bunch of new stuff, so it's really fun.
Do you feel like it's more tiring because you have to use Japanese every day and it's technically probably longer?
I'm dead every day. Every day. I'm like, by the end of the day, I'm gone. I'm absolutely gone. In the beginning, I don't think I could handle like two hours and I'd just be at my desk like, oh my God, kind of thing, right? Especially if like you have like a 1 hour meeting or something like that. And people are just like talking so quick, and they're talking about stuff that like I don't really understand, even if it was in English, because it's like, you know, whatever, everyone has their own stuff that they're working on, and usually you don't have too much visibility on other stuff. So I wouldn't understand it anyway. But then I feel like I have to understand that because it's like, I don't know if I don't understand it because I don't know the Japanese or if I just don't know the context, you know what I mean? So you get lost in that kind of, you get lost in the sauce there. But otherwise, yeah, no. So in the beginning it was really, really bad. But now I'm pretty used to it. So like I can handle 8 hours and I can go home and still like speak a little more Japanese kind of thing. So it definitely helped for N1 because I took N1 here. And like, I don't know if you, like, you know, like the listening section is just like, you have to put in all your energy to like,
kind of like, I remember like they keep tricking me because they would be like, oh, you want to go to the store, restaurant, or this, and then later they'll be like, okay, let's go to the first one that we said, but not the actual first one, the one we corrected, that one, let's go to that one.
Yeah, no, they like, they just like keep like taking it back, right? They keep like, but luckily because of like all the listening I've been doing here, it definitely helped me a lot because like I don't have to really focus a lot and I still kind of get the information now, which is really, really useful. I wasn't as tired after the N1, which before, like, when I took, like, N5 or, like, N... Well, I only took N5. And then N2, I was, like, dead after the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But, definitely helped a lot there. But, yeah.
So, is there, like, a next level for you with Japanese that you personally want to get to?
That's a hard one, man. It's like, a lot of people take, like, what they have, like, the kanji, like... Kante or whatever it is called.
But that's almost not even like Japanese.
That's and you have to be able to write it, and like I don't know how to write anything. So that's kind of like starting from zero, which I don't know if I want to do. I don't know. I've been getting into like translating, for example, for fun, like Japanese to English, which has been a good time because there's a bunch of like translation competitions online and everything. So I did that last year, which was really fun. I'm trying to do that again this year, but otherwise it's kind of like I just want to get a lot better at speaking. Like I always want to like be confused for an actual native speaker or something like that. So that's kind of like my goal there. It's just kind of like talking as much as possible, basically. It's hard to like I mean, I know you have N1 too, right? Do you have like a next goal then?
I guess kind of, but I'm not like super actively working on it. Like just at some point get to like super native level. It's not really clear what you have to do.
It's not a clear path, and there's no way to know how I'm now native, you know? I don't know how you can actually say that, right? So
it would just have to be like you've been living there for so long you even forget that you're not.
Honestly.
Oh, I guess I am native now.
One day you realize, right? Yeah, maybe that'll happen one day. Maybe
like, somebody has to be, wake up, you're not Japanese.
you're in the Matrix.
I just remember now, I like so my family back in Toronto, right? They went to this like kind of like spiritual doctor one day, right? In Toronto, right? Yeah. And they're like, Alex, you gotta do this. This person's so interesting, whatever. And I was like, okay. I don't really like believe in that stuff, right? But it was like this, like, because my family's Romanian and like the spiritual doctor was Romanian. And it was like, you gotta try it out. And I was like, okay. And we had like a Zoom call. I was in Japan at the time, right? We did a Zoom call with this like spiritual doctor, and then she started telling me about my past, right? And I was like, okay,
you can be Japanese.
Hey, don't spoil it, man. Don't spoil it.
Come on, Eric.
basically, she was like, all right, Alex, listen up. You've had 77 past lives. And all of them, you were Japanese. And because you were born into a Canadian body, your body yearns for the Japanese. So that's why you are now back in Japan. Your destiny is in Japan. And I was like, it all makes sense now. Wow.
My question then is like, what happened? Did you get like glitched or something? Like 77 times in a row.
I started twitching weirdly, and I think like
just like transformed.
Yeah. No, but that was such a weird experience. Yeah, to be told that. So apparently, this is my homeland. So it feels good to be back.
Yeah, so right now, if we shock you, Alex, we indeed are shocking a native Japanese.
78th generation.
Exactly.
The most Japanese Canadian person you find, yeah.
I know. I don't think we've ever talked to someone who's had 77 native Japanese past lives inside of them. Yeah.
Right, that's, right.
Has there incredible. Even been that many generations?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't think that, yeah, no, there hasn't even been that much. Like, how many years? That's what, 700? Imagine times it by, like, what, 50 maybe? 50 years?
Yeah.
I don't think Japan existed even.
Right. Who knows? Maybe some of those past lives were in an anime or something, you know, where the...
Oh, yeah, that counts as one of them.
Every anime I watch is one of my past lives.
They're nostalgic. All 77, yeah. Like, isekais.
True. That's where it's all from, you know? It's like where... all the separate universes I've been is just all collected into this one, yeah.
Right. Looks like we solved it.
I think she's onto something, yeah.
Yeah, imagine she's just like a huge weeb or something.
Looks like we need to interview this.
Yeah, we did.
I got you. I got you. I'll give you your email.
But I guess, like, do you have any advice for people who are like learning Japanese, maybe trying to go to Japan and work in Japan?
I mean, it definitely depends on like what you want to do in Japan for sure, and if you want to like work in Japanese, right? If you want to work in Japanese, I just say like get your Japanese as good as possible, because like you need a lot more than you expect, and like it feels better when you know more Japanese, like you can do a lot more that way. So I 100% just focus on your Japanese if you want to do stuff in Japanese. Otherwise, otherwise just work on your people skills, honestly. I think that's the biggest thing. That's applicable anywhere you go, right?
Really, like Japanese.
Not even Japanese, right. Yeah. If you don't want to use Japanese, that's not your focus, then I think the people skills and getting yourself more out there is probably the best thing. And that's probably the best thing that you can do to better your Japanese as well, right? Right. Like, if you can go out and even just language exchanges, or if you have the courage to go to a bar that fits five people and speak with native Japanese people, that also works. Whatever floats your boat there, but as long as just try to get yourself outside of like your box there, and I think like that's what's gonna get your Japanese best, right? Because it's fun alone, but it's more fun when you can like do it with other people and connect with people. I think that's the whole point with like learning Japanese too, right?
Right. Now, Alex, I'm gonna ask you a question.
Wait. I was gonna say that it seems like a good point for that, but I also have an additional question right before that.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Alex, like, there's a topic that always comes up often on the show. You've been living there in Japan for a while, and you mentioned you speak some Japanese after work. So I want to ask about whether or not your thoughts on the Japanese. On dating a Japanese person.
Dating a Japanese
person?
Or
Japanese.
Interesting. Interesting question. I mean, it's definitely... I haven't dated a Japanese person yet. Definitely... I mean, it's helpful, right? It's probably helpful. But, like... what I've heard is, like... Like, what I hear a lot from people in my company is, like... They'll see someone, like someone get a girlfriend, and then 1 month later, this guy is speaking he's speaking like a girl. Right? Like he weirdly, like before, apparently there was this guy that, like, super brawny guy. Super big guy, right? And, like, he had pretty broken Japanese. He starts dating a Japanese girl a couple months later, and, like, he just looks a little less brawny now, just the way he speaks, you know, there's something different about the way he speaks now. He has a different like demeanor that way, right? Like it just sounds like his girlfriend now, right? So in that way, I think like if you want to like work on your Japanese by dating a Japanese person, should have
date good. The same.
They date a masculine.
Date a man.
Yeah, you should date a man. Here's the advice. Here's the true
Here's
advice.
The advice. There you go.
Yeah, no one talks about the Japanese boyfriend. I don't know. Like, that's where.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the
that's
missing
true.
Link.
Yeah, that is the missing link. The Japanese boyfriend. The Japanese. We've come a long way. But yeah, but Alex. I'm here to ask you a very special question, this very specific one that all 77 of your Japanese past lives have been waiting to answer. Now, it's extremely crucial to every Korekara podcast, and I think you know what's coming up because you've been working up to this your entire life as well. Not just those
lives,
77
lives,
but you know, all 78 and counting. So, Alex, I'm gonna put you on the spot here, man. Ooh. What is your message to the Korekara squad? It's the most important question ever asked, just in general.
There's I have a lot of feelings right now. It's kind of excited now. I don't know.
Everyone on the inside is coming, get a little excited there.
Wow, I need to calm myself down for a little bit. Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, honestly, my main message, honestly, is like, there's a lot of like, people say a lot of things online about like, you know, what the best way to learn Japanese, whatever is like, right? But my only main message honestly is just like, if you're not having fun, then it's the wrong method. And I think that people put themselves through hell, I think, and not have fun, but like they go through it. And I think it's like, if you're not having fun, it's not worth it kind of thing. So that's my message. Just have fun with it, man. Like it's supposed to be a fun time. If you're not having fun, then switch it up. But that's my message. Just have fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you love to hear it. I can really see all 78 of you, including you right there, really pushing that board.
Yeah.
They all came out there. Yeah. You gotta have fun with it.
They're like JoJo stands just behind me, all 77. Right?
And the best way to have fun is the Korekara podcast.
That's true.
Right?
That is the best way to have fun. Guaranteed, yes. Certified, the best way
by
to have
77 fun. Generations.
By 77, by 77 past generations. they're all backing up, screaming for the Korekara podcast. Here is the best way.
You can't hear them.
Yeah, no, I hear them loud.
Definite. It's actually definite.
Right.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone listening may have had to turn their volume down a little bit there.
Okay. I think it's the biggest live audience you've ever had.
Yeah. There's a lot of applause right now. It's kind of hard to talk. Yeah.
I know. It's pretty tough. All right, I think I hear one of them screaming to smash the like button.
That's probably the best transition you've ever had, I think.
Hey, thanks for making it to the end of the podcast. So definitely comment down below if you would want to work in Japan after hearing Alex's story.
But of course, you know what time it is. We got to go shout out our patrons. Cedric Ross, Kevin Allen, Drew, Jack, Jeanette, Joey, K, Johnny Meredith, MKX, Nathan, Bowlers, Yui, Riversman, Quaid, and Sad Boy.
Peace.
Peace.